Benji Gorey, welcome to the podcast, man. Thanks for taking the time. I know you're a busy man. I'm really glad we got to schedule this. Like I said before, you know, you've seemed to have a really illustrious career and played at a lot of great clubs in a lot of interesting places. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. So without further ado, if you could just introduce yourself, you know, your name, how old you are, position, where you're currently playing, and then yeah, we'll dive into your journey, man. Looking forward to it.
Oh, I love it, man. But first and foremost, thank you so much for having me on, brother. It's an absolute privilege and an honor to come on and share a little bit about who I am and the career that I've had and the favor that is upon me of that God has blessed me with. You know, I'm just so grateful for the talent that he's blessed me with and that I get to do what I love to do every day. You know, that is such a blessing in itself. But a little bit about me, I'm Kenji Gorey. I was born in Holland, moved to England when I was 5 and I'm 29 now. I started my career at Manchester United, was there for my whole youth academy until 18 years old. I then signed for Swansea, where I signed my first professional contract. Had an amazing 5 years there, to be honest. Ended up making my Premier League debut. And from there, I moved to Portugal. I moved to Nacional in Madeira and played in Portugal for 5 years. And then moved and now playing it out here in Qatar. So I'm 29 now, just turned 29 a couple of days ago. So honestly, I'm just grateful. I'm just grateful that I get to do what I love to do every day and just empty myself out and continue to do God's will in my life.
Yeah, that's awesome, bro. That's awesome. And you know, I appreciate it. I'm sure the audience really appreciates, you know, your smile and your positivity. I think that's so big, you know, and I think it's very underrated in this game. Obviously, you know, you do what you love. There are tons of ups and downs, but the fact that you're grateful to God and what he's doing for you and to provide you the strength and power is huge. And I think it all starts with gratitude. When, you know, before we dive into your career a little bit, when did you start to really find that gratitude in your life and, you know, be thankful for what you do? Because, you know, it's easy to say to be grateful, but it's hard to find that sometimes.
That is a great question, brother. And honestly, it came with a process, you know, and when I think about the process, I think about, you know, as professional athletes, we go through so many ups and downs. It's a roller coaster, you know, football is full of ups and downs. And, you know, it got to a point where I was at Manchester United literally my whole life, like my whole life from 6 years old playing at United. And it was like going to school. It was like a norm. And it got to a point where I got into the office. The boss called me into the office. It was one, just a normal day of training. Sir Alex Ferguson says, Kenji, I want to speak to you. So I go into the office and I knock on the door and I said, hi, boss, sit down. Don't know what to say to him. Obviously his presence in that room just feel it is full. It's full, you know, it's heavy in there, but also there's a lot of, you know, it's just a lot, you know, especially when you're in the presence of the greatest manager for me in all time. Yeah. But at that time it was normal, you know, I'm at Manchester United, it's so normal. But I remember going in there and I was like, well, what's he got to say? And he said, Kenji, you've been here for 18 years now. And, for 10 years now. I was 18 at the time. And he said, honestly, I can give you a new contract now, but I know that's not going to do you any good. I believe that with the ability that God has given you, with the ability that you have, I believe that you need to go out there and explore other avenues to go out there and play. And, you know, when I got hit with that news, it was like he started to also say to me, like, there's a lot of players ahead of you. You know, at the time it was like Nani, Giggs, you know, the guys coming through was like Adnan Januzaj, Andreas Pereira. They were the guys in my age group, Jesse Lingard. All these guys were ahead of me at that time. And he was like, I can't guarantee that you're going to be playing, have any game time. And he said, with a guy of your ability, you have to go out there and play. And I remember getting into my car, driving home, and I just burst out crying. I just burst out crying, let everything out. And honestly, long story short, I ended up telling my parents and I just felt like I was so lost. I just felt like I didn't know who I was because my identity was tied into what I do. My identity was tied into playing and being this footballer. And I was always known as the guy that plays for Manchester United. Yeah, that's Kenji, the guy that played for Manchester United. And now suddenly I'm like, well, who am I? Like, what am I going to tell my friends? What am I going to tell the guys at school? What am I going to tell my parents? They've sacrificed their life. My parents sacrificed their whole life to stay in Manchester because I was playing for Manchester United. They were going to go back to Holland, you know, but they sacrificed their life. So I was like, what am I going to say to these people? What am I going to say to them? And honestly, they were just amazing with me. I cried for a day. But something that my dad mentioned, and there might be someone going through that right now that's just got hit with some news. And I just wanted to remind you, when one door closes, another one opens, you know. And my dad said to me, he said, listen, Kenji, you're at the top. Where do you want to go? And I was like, oh, my days. Yeah, where do I want to go? Like, where do I want to go? And that's why I want to encourage anybody listening to this. Like, where do you want to go? And be realistic with your situation of where you're at as well. Like, where do you want to go? Are you exploring the area, the places where you want to go? So what I did, I wrote down all the clubs that I wanted to go to. I wrote down Swansea, Everton, West Ham, because they're the things that I wanted to go and see. Like, I looked at all the wingers in that position. I'm a winger myself. I looked at all the players in my position of how I'm going to break into that first team. How many players are there? Right, there's three players there. There's two players in that position. How am I going to get the most chances? And Swansea, there wasn't a lot of wingers in the under-23s. There wasn't a lot of wingers in the first team as well. There was Wayne Routledge, Nathan Dyer that were playing on the wings. And I was like, wow, I would love to play amongst that. And long story short, I then signed at Swansea. But to answer your question, I've just gone round a roller coaster there.
No, but I love it. I love it. I'm going to dive into some more. I love it. Yeah.
But honestly, like, to answer your question, it was like, I placed my identity in football. And when I placed my identity in football, with full of ups and downs of what football brings, that means my life is full of ups and downs. You know, when football's going good, life is good. When football's going bad, life is bad.
Exactly.
And I didn't want to feel that way anymore. So I said, well, who am I? Who am I? And exactly. As I started to really go dive deep into who I am, I started to realize the calling upon my life as well. You know, in the Bible, it speaks about who we are. In Genesis, in the beginning, it says, God created us in his likeness and image of who he is. So if I am made in his image, if I am made in his likeness, that means, and I'm a child of God, that means that is my identity before the football. And that's why I started to really dive deep into who I was, regardless of what I do, you know, and that's kind of, to answer your question, that was really the switch for me to be honest, just figuring out who I am.
Yeah, dude, I really, really love that. And I could tie that in from what I've seen in the space for the last 7, 8 years, trying to help younger players, inspire them. That's a major reason I have this podcast and the content I put out, because I never had a mentor. I didn't have a big brother. So my goal is to be that mentor and big brother to these, you know, young footballers who want to make it to the next level. But you answered something that is probably the biggest question within the football industry that I see from young players is, you know, they always say, like, Rick, you know, in the team training and individual training, I'm really, really good. But when I go into matches, I start to choke. I lack confidence. And I actually think it all ties down to this, what you said, tying your identity into you just being a footballer and nothing else. So I think the major problem is, you know, everyone puts unneeded pressure on themselves and they don't find that real avenue of why they started playing the game. And then they don't differentiate themselves from their self and then the footballer. And I think it's so valuable because, like you said, this is such an emotional game. And if you get tied up into it, your mental health off the pitch isn't going to be good. So yeah, I mean, I think, you know, whatever it is, you know, whether you believe in the higher power, finding that identity off the pitch and really, you know, developing other skills and other hobbies besides football, I think is essential to actually develop your true confidence on the pitch as a footballer.
So true, man. So true. So true. Especially when it comes to confidence, you know. You know, like, sometimes I'm gonna share this because I feel like it's in my heart to share. You know, there might be people that were on here, and I was there myself, where I placed my confidence in what people said about me rather than who I am. So it's like, if your coach says you are good at this specific thing, that means that you are good because he's affirming something to you. So that means he's good. So it's like if you are now performing for him rather than actually who you actually are. And that's why when we're talking about who we are, you have to identify, well, I have to identify what player I am. What am I good at? What do you bring to the team? What is your role in the team? And that is what brings confidence, because you, Rick, I, the players that are listening to this, we all have specific qualities. One's fast, one's strong, one's this, one's that. One's good at crossing, one's good at heading, one's good at finish. Like, there's so many different qualities that one's good at, but we have to identify the power that God has given us that we're good at. And that's what we need to do more of. We don't need to do what other people are doing. We don't need to do what they're good at. Oh, one's good at dribbling, so let them dribble. One's good at crossing, take a touch and cross it. Don't try and dribble if you're not a good dribbler. You know, but mm-hmm. you have to be honest with yourself and figure out what player you are. And me, as myself, I can only talk for wingers. I'm a winger. We have to create. We have to get ourselves in positions to create. Look at other players that are doing it and getting themselves into positions. Like, I look at certain wingers, like Vinicius, for example, how he manipulates a ball and how he gets himself free. How he gets himself free. He always looks like he's free. Yeah. Like, yeah. It's mad. Yeah. How does he get himself in that position? Because he's patient. He waits for the right moment of where he is on that pitch. And when he gets in that moment, whoever's the right back, whoever's the left back, whoever stands there, he's got a move to beat him outside and he has a move to beat him on the inside. And that's why as mm-hmm. wingers, I'm talking to wingers right now, if you need to be able to beat a man inside and beat a man outside.
100%.
And that comes 100%. With confidence and you have to keep doing it. You have to keep doing it. And that's why it's about mastering what God has given you and knowing your ability. Sometimes it's not dribbling past him. Sometimes waiting for that extra yard, whipping it in, knowing that the striker's there heading it first post. Build that mm-hmm. relationship with your striker. Build that relationship with the number 10 to understand how to get the best out of you. So yeah, that's all. Just wanted to add on to what you just shared so beautifully, bro.
Yeah, yeah. I love that, bro. I love that. And it all comes down to that honest self-dissection, that honest self-analysis, looking yourself in the mirror, telling yourself what you're good at and what you're bad at. And, you know, with that being said, because we have a lot of young footballers listening, you know, if they have a player that they want to play like or they're inspired by, what's your advice on, you know, looking at that player? You know, for example, if you go to a match, you know, you watch a 90-minute match, what's your advice on overall, like, analyzing that player?
So I would look from a perspective of how can I see myself in that player? So it's like, how can you see yourself in that? Like, have you got those characteristics? If you're not fast, you're not going to look at a fast player.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're going to have to look at other players that don't have the pace. So for example, like Daley Blind, for example, right? Fantastic footballer, not blessed with pace, but what he is smart. So if you're not blessed with pace, look at someone like him that you can see his positioning. You can see the things that he's in a certain, like even Philip Lahm, for example, not the fastest of players, intelligent, never lost the ball, never lose. Like how can you see yourself in that player? And that's how you can, and I believe that you can see, like for me, for example, like when I look back at my career, I do stuff now that I saw in players that I played with at United. I see myself now realizing what they did and was like, wow, like the way they manipulate the ball in that area, like that is what I need in my game. So I remember Adnan Januzaj, right? He was master at using his body.
Yeah.
Man couldn't do two pull-ups yet. The guy couldn't do two pull-ups in the gym, But what he was strong. Strong on the board. Couldn't tackle him because he knew how to use his body. He knew how to use his legs. He knew how to use certain ways to manipulate his body in a way that the defender couldn't get in between. And there are things that you can learn from people as you're watching the game, you know, how he's moving his body, like where, how he's controlling it, how many times he's checked his shoulder. You know, these are things that we have to study. Those little details, they make a big difference.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, with that being said, you know, I dove a little bit into your history. I see your dad was a big footballer, so that's why you made the move to England. Did you get a lot of inspiration from him? How did you develop the love for the game? How did you get into football?
So honestly, like, my dad is my biggest role model. He's someone that that's I awesome. Look up to. Not just for what he accomplished, not just for the Champions League that he played and all of these amazing things, the double that he won in Holland, but more of the man that he is. You know, I think, you know, like, you'll see a true man when he goes through trials and tribulations and goes through things and stuff like that. Like, when things are going amazing, like, it's easy to smile, it's easy to be happy. But when things aren't, and I saw my dad go through so many, gone through life, you know, and to see how he handled life and how he handled certain things and what he did was vital in my upbringing, was vital in my, of why I actually am still playing right now. I think, you know, he was someone that experienced everything that I was going through. So I was living with someone that had gone through everything that I'm going through. So mm-hmm. It was like, I remember going through life, like, I only wanted to play football from young. All I can remember, I started playing for Manchester United when I was 6 years old, you know. Wow. so like, I was, football was my life. I remember, you know, my dad says it all the time, like, how he asked, so it got to around 12 years old and my dad asked me, listen, Kenji, do you want to be a professional footballer? And I said, yeah, man, of course I want to be. He said, do you want to do everything in your power to become a professional footballer? And I said, yeah, what's life without football? Like, there's no life without football. And he said, okay, from now on, I'm going to treat you like a professional Wow. footballer. And that wasn't always easy. And there was times, yeah. you know, when I wasn't playing, when I was on the bench and I was thinking, I was crying in the car and I was like, this guy and that guy's upset. And he just let me cry. He just let me get it out. He let me let it out. He let me go. And he said, well, Kenji, you chose this. I didn't choose it for you.
Mm-hmm.
The coach didn't choose for you to be a footballer or not. The guys didn't. You chose it. So yeah. I was like, wow, like, the intention that he had for me to be able, because I can see when players have, it's been put on them rather than for them sure. to actually play, you know? And, sure. and we're going a bit deep here, in a deep end here, but that is, yes. that's the truth of it, you know? Like, as a lot of dads push their children to become something, that pressure just weighs so much on them that they cannot now perform at the highest level because they're always looking over their shoulder. What's their dad thinking? What's their dad going to say mm-hmm. in the car on the way back home? You know, like, he's going to shout at me. He's going to say this. If I make a mistake, he's going to do... And that's the fear then that not going to let them excel in their career, you know. So my dad was just honestly amazing with me growing up and helping me to really, how do you say, cultivate my talent in the best way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that, man. What do you think were like some of the biggest tests that, you know, he voluntarily put you through to see if you actually wanted to be a footballer? Because like you said, you know, it's very easy to say you want to be a footballer, but to do those actions and consistently day after day at the highest level and maintain that standard is not easy.
Exactly that. And I think, you know, it comes to, you know, when you're a young man, you're around 16, you know, you're getting exposed to things, you're getting exposed to the world, you know, and now you've got to make decisions because you've got a game the next day. So now it comes exactly. to Saturday. All your friends are going to this party. All your friends are going to this place. And all your friends are staying up late, playing plays. All your friends are doing certain things that you want to be involved in because you don't want to be left out. And then my dad says, well, Kenji, do you want to be a professional footballer or not?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. you know that you have to be home by 9.
Yeah.
You know, you have to do, you know, and it's just like, and I never asked him, like, can I go to this day? Can I go to there? I always said, I want to be a professional footballer. And I always felt like I didn't want to also let him down, but I didn't want to let myself down.
100%.
I didn't want to look back at myself and be like, I didn't give everything to this.
Yeah.
Because to be honest with you, like growing up, like there was no other option. I was being a professional footballer. There's no other option. Like that was it. Like there was no way. There was not like a plan B or a plan C or if this doesn't work out, I was like, I am becoming a professional footballer, whether people like it or not. That is what I'm doing. Everything in my power to become that. So nothing was going to stop me from achieving that. And I think, you know, it got to a point where these things happened, you know, like where it's like, well, there's a party, my best friend's party on Saturday. What do I do now? And honestly, and to be real with you, like it cost friendship. It cost my upbringing. You know, it cost me
100%.
missing out on things where you know, family parties. It cost me these things. But that is why I always say it's not for everybody.
100%.
Football isn't
100%.
for everyone. And there might be someone listening to this where it's like, oh, I built my life, I want to be, but maybe it's not for you.
Exactly.
Because it really isn't for everyone. And that's why that these sacrifices that we make to become, you know, professional footballers, because the 1% of the 1% actually make it, you know, and that's why it's so interesting. I've played with players that are have so much more ability than me. I've played with players that have less ability than me. They made it higher than me, you know. So it's like, well, what actually is it, you know? And there's so many different factors to that. So yeah, to answer that question, it's a lot, man.
100%. I love that. And like you said from the beginning, I think, everything is meant to happen, will happen. You know what I mean? So it's like I always go back to this quote when I talk with young footballers who want to play at the next level. Sturridge said it. He said, like, you know, the ages between 14 and 18 are probably the most important ages for a young footballer because, like you said, that's when you start seeing the shiny stuff, the parties, the girls, the going out, and your ability to just be head down and be tunnel visioned and you know, move those distractions away from you is what's going to take you to the top. And just like you said, you know, there are a lot of people that'll come back and say, but what about friends? What about social life? What about, you know, having a girlfriend? And I think it all comes down to this. It's like you said, you decided when you were 12 years old, you said, I'm going to be a professional footballer no matter what. And you got to stick to that plan. And that doesn't mean like maybe some things will come up and then you say, you know, maybe it's not for me. But if you actually want to be a footballer and through and through, you're going to have to make those choices and those sacrifices. And like I always say, you know, if you have best friends and they don't respect your decision to not go to their party, then they're not your friend anyway. If you have a girlfriend and she doesn't respect you wanting to stay in, she wants to go out, then she's not for you anyway. So I think it's all about, you know, it might sound selfish, but the goal, if that's your ultimate goal, you go head down. And if the people who are meant to be in your life will stay with you, and then the people who are meant to be not in your life will vanish. And I think that's one of the most important parts. It's so easy to say, just like everything, but to actually embody that is the goal, you know?
So true, brother. So true.
Yeah, so I'd like to get into your career a little bit, you know. Man United, man. I mean, dream for everyone. How is that, man? 6 years old, going in there,
Like
playing
I
until
mentioned
18.
it, yeah, I mentioned it a little bit, but it was just normal, you know. Like when you're there, it's normal. And like when I look back at these moments and you know the times that we had there, you know, I was playing with the best players in the world. You know, I was exposed to the best players in the world. There was a culture at Manchester United of winning. You know, every game that we went to. I think it got to a point where, you know, you're 16, you get your season tickets and you have to go to every game. And we went to every game and they won every game. You know, like it was like we know we're going again and they're gonna win. You know, it was like that, just that culture, and that was just embodied in myself, in my own self, because you're around that winning mentality. That winning mentality didn't just come from the games, but it came from training. You know, it got to a point where, you know, like when you're going through all these age groups, you know, it was like at Manchester United, yeah, you start off at, you know, like at the bottom, which is the furthest pitch away. And every year you go up under 12, under 13, under 14, under 16, under 18, and then reserve 23s, and then the first team is there. So it's like every time you're going up a pitch, and it's like, And every year you're like, I hope that I make it to the next one. I pray that I make it to the next one. I pray that. And every year, you know, I made it into that next year. I made it into next year. I made it into next year. And it was like, I was never had the best ability. I was never the best. But what I did have was that fight. What I did have is that mentality to not just settle. You know, I wasn't happy to just sit on the bench, or I wasn't happy to just be second best. I still desire to be the best. So I was showing up like I was the best, even though I knew that I wasn't. And 100%. Everyone would say that I wasn't the best. But certain players might say, yeah, Kenji was one of the best. But I knew in myself, like, there was a lot of talent there. A lot of talent. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's why, like, every year, you make it to that next level, you make it to that next level, you make it to that next level. And it was just a culture of winning, you know. And like I said, it was just normal. You know, you're coming in, you're having your lunch, Rio Ferdinand's there, Giggs is there, you know, Paul Scholes is there. And it's like, and it was just normal, just a normal day. And like, I look back at that time and I'm like, I just wish that I would ask more questions. I wish that I would embrace that moment a lot more, because I was surrounded with elite.
Yeah.
I was surrounded with elite, you know, and that's why I always say to the young players, you know, that are at the academies now, that are experienced, these players, like, go and speak to them, man. Go and get the knowledge, go and get the wisdom, go and get the insight into their careers, because it's just so important to really hear that. And I remember a story, you know, like Paul Scholes, for example. He got to a point where he retired, but when he retired, he started to train with us. So he started to train with us, and that literally, to see the way that he trained, he was already retired. He was already finished. But he was serious. From the passing drill to the boxes, the rondos, he was serious. He'd be sliding, he'd be and he would set the tone, you know, and that doesn't come from learn. You don't learn that. You don't teach that. That's just something that is in you. But that spreads. You know, when someone's giving their everything, that will make someone else give the everything. You know, like, 100%. Because you're like, wait, to be honest, I need to also fix up. I want to also show him. And you want to show him how good you are then, you know?
Yeah.
And it got to a point where he then came out of retirement, and Ferguson was like, yeah, come back and we need you still. Wow. And he came out of retirement, started playing again. Started playing again. So it was just like, I have such amazing memories at that time, you know, playing with the world's best players and seeing them and being exposed to that realm. And that it was just crazy experience when I look back.
Yeah. Yeah. That's unbelievable. I mean, you know, with that being said, you know, you look back, you said you were sorry you didn't ask so many questions, but obviously, you know, you played a lot of places, 29 now, I'm sure you have a great memory, you know, with all those experiences. What could you look back on, like that guy, like guys like Ferdinand, guys like Giggs, guys like Scholes, what did they do that got them to the top and kept them and maintained them at the top?
It's the discipline of every single day. It's that discipline of every single day, not yesterday. You know, like sometimes we live off yesterday's win, you know, like, and the next day it's like the yesterday. But they're winning. They're winning every single day. Like in training, they have to win. Like it's not like a thing of, yeah, okay, well, we're happy with the 1-1. Like, no, they're there to win that session. They're there to win that rondo. They're there to win that possession drill. They're there to win. It's just a culture of winning. And I think, you know, when you have that culture, then in the games, when you're training with the best players, in the games, it becomes easier. Because now they're on your team. And every team that you're playing against is not as good as the 11 aside that you're playing in training, you know? So I think that's what really made them grow into getting the full potential out of that squad. And obviously having that, having a manager like Sir Alex is just, you know, he got the best out of everyone. Even the guys that weren't playing, he would just get the best out of them all.
100%. Yeah, I mean, yeah, like you said, I mean, it's so easy to say discipline, but to treat every day as a new day and not think about your past, especially for guys at that level, for guys at your level, is the ultimate goal, you know? And like you said from the beginning, that's why it's the 0.001% that get there.
Yeah, it really, really is. It really is.
So after you had that conversation with Sir Alex, Where did your mind go to? Obviously, you said you were very sad, you were crying, but then, you know, you said you spoke with your dad, he said to write down your options. What was the next step from there?
So then I wrote down the options, and I got to a point where I was like, obviously the confidence got hit, the you know, like you're like, oh, am I even that good? You know, all these doubts started to come on, and I had this burning flame inside of me that I just wanted to go and prove. I wanted to prove to everyone and also prove to myself that I'm actually good enough, you know, to play. So I remember the next week I went on trial at Everton. And on that trial at Everton, I was honestly, not to just boast or to say, but I was honestly, I was so proud of myself because I trained so well. And I remember Darren Gibson was there as well. And he said, like, you remember saying to him, saying to the coach, like, you have to sign him. And I could hear him saying that to the coach, you have to sign him. You know, he's someone that we need and stuff like that. And I was so, it was just so, it was like a confidence booster again, where it's like, wait, yeah, I am good. You know, I have got the ability. I have got the, because when you get that news of, you know, that setback, it's like, you can do two things. You can sulk, you can moan, you can complain, oh, this is why and this is the reason why, or you can just see it for what it is. And my dad made me see it for what it really was. And that was that one, that this door is closed. Where's the next door that is open? And that's why I went to Everton and honestly it went amazing. But at the end of the week, I had a meeting then with the coach, and the coach said, "Kenji, we're not gonna sign you." And I was so shocked. But I remember being in the car on the way home, and I was like, I knew that okay, this isn't where I'm supposed to be. But I just knew, I was so confident because of how I trained, that another door would open. And there was another player there on trial at the time, and his agent saw the training sessions. He watched the training session. That agent ended up speaking to Swansea, and Swansea signed me without going there. So I then signed my professional contract at Swansea from the trial at Everton. I signed a two-year deal at Swansea. And that's why I wanted to encourage anyone. You never know who's watching. So what looks like a fail, like, and at that time, Swansea had just won the Carabao Cup. So it was like, they just won the cup. They're going to Europe.
Yeah.
And they were like, it was all on top. So it was like, wow, like, this is just amazing. So I went to, I ended up signing a two-year deal, a professional contract at Swansea from the trial at Everton that I had, that ended up me signing for Swansea. So anyone that's listening to this, just, you never know who's watching. And you just never know, from one opportunity, another one can open, you know?
100%. Yeah, I mean, you took the words out of my mouth. That's exactly what I thought and what I was going to say. And I'm sure you took everything that you learned at Man U, you know, the professionalism on and off the pitch, and the right people notice that. You know, I think it's the people, you know, some people nowadays are like, you know, they don't want to look like they're doing too much, or there's this weird mindset with some people. But it's like, if you act like a true professional and you really want to get to that next level, the right people are going to notice, the right agents, the right coaches. And then, like you said, you're going to be placed in that right environment as long as you're doing those right things and doing those details that we've talked about. So I think that's unbelievable.
Very true, brother. Really, really true.
Yeah. So then take us to Swansea. How was that?
So I get to Swansea now, and I had a really, like, it just took off from there. Like, I just trained really well, played really well. And really quickly, I started to be training with the first team. And the first team squad was really small. Like, Michael Laudrup was the coach at the time, and he had two players in every position.
Wow.
And that was just his thing. Like, he rotated. He just rotated the squad. It was never, even when they won, like, he kept rotating. And from 18, was just training with the first team most days, playing with the under 21s. And I had a really good time. Every preseason would be with the first team. And it was just that moment that all I needed was that break to break into that first team. All I needed was that opportunity to get into that first team. And I had to show myself in the under 21s. That's all I could do. I could just prove how good I was in the 21s and in the training sessions. So my dad always told me, like, listen, a training session to someone might just be a training session, but a training session with the first team to you is Champions League final. Like, it's not like it's not just you going into training and this is a Champions League fight. You need to go and show. And like, and I was like, wow, like, I need to treat this as a Champions League. This isn't just a training session for me. I've got to empty myself out. So anyway, I was there. I ended up being there for 5 years. Had a really, really good time there, to be honest, when I look back. But also quite frustrating as well. I remember in the under-21s, like, we had a really great team. Like, our team was, like, really good. We had, when I look at my team now, like, a lot of them are playing still at the highest level in the Premier League, Championship. A couple of them are abroad now as well. So we had a really good under-21s team. And we won the league that year. We won the cup that year. And that's when I was also top goal scorer of the league. I had the most assists in the league. It was like a top season. And to top that off, I also then made my Premier League debut. So then I made my Premier League debut. And from there, I signed a new 3-year contract at Swansea in the Premier League. And it was like, wow, like, this was like the best time of my career. Like, I was like on... like, it was only going up and up and up.
Yeah.
And when I signed that new deal, I said to myself, I was just starving to play. I just wanted to play so bad. And I remember the chairman, he was like, Kenji, your time will come. Like, stay patient, stay patient. But now I'm 21 and I'm like, I can't play 2021's football anymore. Like, I just can't do it. I felt like I just completed it. You know, I couldn't do that anymore. I just wanted to play first team. And the first team manager was like, listen, you're going to have to go on loan because I can't guarantee that you're going to be playing here. And now I look back and I'm like, well, I had Wayne Routledge in front of me, Nathan Dyer. I had all these amazing Montero, Pablo Hernandez, you know, all these guys that were ahead of me. And I was like, to be fair, like, they're not waiting on Kenji Gore to come into the team. Like, I have to wait for the right moment. I have to wait. And you know, like, when you're just doing everything like in your control and it's all going well, you're just waiting for the opportunity to come. And you're just like, it should be me now. And God said, I have to take you through this process in order for you to be ready. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes it's not about your ability that will get you somewhere. It's about the character that you have to have in order for you to be ready to stay there. Because sometimes it gets to a point where it's the easiest bit is actually making, the hardest is staying.
Yes, yes.
Yep. And that comes with character. And you're going to have to get that character intact in order for you to stay there. And that's why there's not a lot of players that stay at the highest level for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, that's the people that we have to study. They're the people that we have to look at where it's like, they've not just done a 2 seasons good. They've done a 10 seasons, 7 seasons consecutively. They've done this. That comes from something building up to that. You know, that 100%. Doesn't just happen. So I went on that process and after 3 years, you know, after three years being at Swansea, I ended up signing a 3-year deal. Yeah, this is what happened. So I signed a 3-year deal and then I went on the gaffer. I had a meeting with the club and they said, you know, what's best is going on loan. And fortunately, you know, I've just made my Premier debut and I was like, I need to go now and play. And I said, okay, where do I go and play? And I had a lot of calls from managers, coaches, where I could play. And a lot of players at that time were going to Holland. And I was actually from Holland. So I was like, that would be perfect. Go to Holland, go and play and then come back and be... And I had a call from a coach, Henk Fraser, his name was. And he said, Kenji, listen, I've watched you play. You're going to absolutely kill it in Holland. I want you to be in my team. I want you to come here and play and then make that next step again to the next step in your career. And I was like, you know what? Like, that feels comfortable. I said, let me sit with it. Let me, you know. And honestly, he was calling me most days, like, come on, we need you. Can you come now? Yeah. And I felt in myself, you know what? I'm going there. I'm going. And I went to Holland and, you know, I went there and things didn't go to plan. I ended up being on the bench. Mm-hmm. And I was like, how have I got to this situation? I'm on top right now But now I've come to Ado Den Haag in the Dutch division. No disrespect to the Dutch league, but it was like there's the Premier League and there's the Dutch league, you know? And I was like, how am I not playing here? And my mindset was, if I don't play here, I'm not going to play in the Premier League. If I don't play here, I'm not going to play in the Premier League. And that is one of the biggest lies. And I want to tell everyone that's listening to this, wherever you are now doesn't mean you're not going to get to where the MLS, for example, in America, or it doesn't mean that you're not going to get to the level that you desire to play at if you're not playing at the level that you think isn't right now, because there's a process that you have to go on. And I had
Yeah,
to
and
go.
football is a game of opinions. You know, it's a
Game of
game of
opinion.
opinions. You could have one manager that, you know, at a lower league club in a lower division that doesn't like your style and you don't fit his style, and then you go to another club and you're like, wow, this is easy, you know?
It's so true. It's so true. And the biggest lesson that I learned from that whole experience of going out to Holland was that I put my faith and I put my trust in the coach rather than myself and rather in God. So
Very well said. Yeah.
that is why it's really, really important that we don't put our trust in people, because people let us down. I let myself down. You let yourself down.
Yeah.
The listeners, you let yourself down. We fall short. We fall short. And
Yeah.
that's why I'm not angry at my coaches, because I know they fall short. I fall short. You know, I fall short. So if they fall short, and but we put our trust in that, we'll be let down. But that's why we have to remind ourselves about God's plan upon our lives. The purpose that He has for us is greater than the purpose that we have for ourselves. And that's why it's important to know what God says about you rather than what man say about you. And that's what
100%.
I really learned in that process. And that's what I had to know in myself as well, in order to then go to the next level in my career as well.
100%. Yeah, I love that. And I want to get into that a bit after and the meaning of all that. But take us through a little bit of your Premier League debut against Crystal Palace, right?
Yes, against Crystal
How
Palace.
was that? How was the feeling? How was the vibe? You know, going through the Man United Academy, not signing at Everton, agent getting you to Swansea, and then you finally make your debut. How's that feeling? How old were you then?
I was 21,
Wow.
20, 20, 21 years old, and honestly, I look back now, I look back and I laugh, because at that time, all I felt was finally. It was like, I look back and I'm like, yeah, this should have been 2 years ago. This should have been 3. You know, like I didn't enjoy it the way I should have. And when I look back about how it all looked, I look back with so much gratitude, because my wife that was there, my mum was there, my dad was there, my auntie was there, and they were there to see me, and they were so proud of me. I remember, like, we talk about it now, my wife was like in tears watching me come on, and my mum was like so proud of me when I came on, because it was like they sacrificed their life for me, and all these things. Like, it was like the icing on the cake. My best friend that we played together at United, we played together at Swansea, we played together at Northampton, we played together at three different clubs, and he was on the bench while I made my Premier League debut. So we speak about it to this day, where it's like this moment was just, it was just surreal. But at that moment, it was like finally. But now I look back with so much pride. I look back with so much sacrifice that I made, the parties that I didn't go to, the things that I sacrificed, the family gatherings, the FIFA tournaments, all these things that I missed out on for this. You know, and that is what it's all about, you know. And it was a moment that I was just like, I look back and I'm like, wow, like I was on that pitch and I just, you know, I did a couple moves, and I was just so grateful to have that experience for sure.
With that being said, like diving back to the beginning part of the conversation, when going into that match, did you have any nerves? Did you have any doubts? And if so, how did you deal with that? How did you develop the confidence to go in there and find your flow in the game?
Honestly, I had so much hunger inside of me. I had so much like, get me on. It was like, just get me on. I want to get on. Yeah. And then when he said, like the gaffer came to me, he was like, Kenji, go warm up. And I was like, yes, this is the time. And the warm up was like, I was sprinting up and down. I was like, dude, honestly, I was like, just get me on. Yeah, like, that's all I felt. And it was like, it was just more excitement. It was so much more excitement than pressure. It was like, I really turned that pressure into just enjoying. You know, every touch that I had, I was just like, I just wanted to just do something and enjoy it. And that's just how I felt. I just felt like I just wanted to just enjoy it.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's about turning those nerves and that anxiety into excitement, you know?
Yeah.
I love it, man. I love it. So yeah, could you take us back to, you know, the move to Ado Den Haag? You know, what was the football in Netherlands, you know, compared to England? What were some differences that you saw? What did you like? You know, what did you not like? You know, how was your experience there?
So in Holland, the football is very tactical. It's very like it's very slow. You know, it's very build up play. You know, it's like find the right moments to attack, find the right moments to make things happen. You know, it's one side to another. And I think at Swansea, it was like in the Premier League, especially, it's like attack, 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 attack. Yeah. You know, it's like one team goes, the other team goes, the other team goes, and it's like it's a very high intensity. In Holland, it was like, well, wait, there's no one pressing me here. Yeah. A lot of time on the ball. It was like strange. Yeah, yeah. Like in England, it was like, someone's on your back. Someone's there. Mm-hmm. Someone's there to take the ball off you. Someone's there to in your face. And I think that's the biggest difference, to be honest, with that for me.
Interesting.
Biggest difference.
Yes. So then after that, you made a move to Portugal. Yeah. To Nacional, you said?
Yeah, so then it got to a point at Swansea where I was like, I had a meeting with the chairman at the time and he was like, listen, I want to offer you a new contract. This is going to be... And we got relegated to the Championship this season. Relegated to the Championship and he was like, you're going to play. We're going to get a young manager in that's going to be giving a lot of opportunities to the youth. And we see you as a big part of that. See you as a big plan to that. And I said to him, honestly, like, you've been saying this for 5 years. You've been saying this for 5 years. Like, what do you want me to do with this information? And he was like, listen, we want you. So it's up to you, you know, like, it's up to you what you want to do. And that's when I got a call from a coach in Nacional. I got a call from Castinha. And Castinha was someone that that won the Champions League with under Mourinho, with Porto. And he called me and he said, Kenji, I really want you to come out into Portugal. You know, I've seen you play. I've seen you're someone that I need out here in this team. And I know that you're going to kill this league. And I was like, Portugal. Let me think, you know, like it started to, really? And I remember discussing it with my dad, discussing it with my partner, my wife now. And I was discussing it with them. And I was like, I started to play with the idea of moving to Portugal. He said, Kenji, come and see it. Come and see it for yourself and see it. So I ended up landing in Madeira and I was like, whoa, it's an island.
Yeah.
I said, wow. And then I saw a little statue of Ronaldo. I don't know if you've seen that statue. Yeah. There's a little statue of Ronaldo. And I was like, Ronaldo's born here. I was like, what? Okay.
Yeah, yeah,
so I started to understand that Ronaldo was from there and that. And I had no idea about any of this. So I was like, where's the city? They're like, this is an island. I was like, oh, okay, So then I went to the stadium and there was something in my spirit that said, this is where you need to be. This is where you need to be. This is where you need to be. And I remember walking down like by the promenade and I was with myself, my dad and my uncle and we were walking and I was just looking round. And that was then the confirmation that this is where I need to be.
Wow.
And I said to my dad, I said, yeah, this is it. And he was like, I feel the same. I was like, wow, okay. So now I went back to England and I had a meeting with the chairman and I called him myself and I said, hi. Thank you so much for the offer. Thank you so much for everything that you've done for the past 5 years. But I've got an offer in Portugal and I would love to take it. I know that you can be asking for money and things like that, but I would really appreciate it if you would just let me go. And he said, Kenji, thank you so much for your call. We'll be more than happy for you to go to this next chapter of your life. And I was like, wow. I just thanked God that I could leave. And I left. And I left. And that is the moment in my life. So that switch was a moment in my life that I said, I'm gonna do everything in my power to not just become the best footballer that I can be, but to also become the best partner that I can be, to also become the best brother that I can be, to also become the best in my finances that I can be. Because I saw that there was a lot of players that were performing well, but their relationship was a shambles, that were performing well, but their finances, they weren't, they were, in a couple of years that they're not going to get the finances, and I was like, wow, like I wanted to be the best in every area. Like I didn't
What
want that
made that
to
shift?
look back at that time. I was like, I looked at my wife. So it was my girlfriend at that time. She started a business at 18, and she started to invest in herself. She started to invest in mentors, coaches, and I saw the process in her, and she started to make money. But she started to make money that I was like, whoa, hey, this is not just little change here. We're not talking change here. So I was like, and it wasn't just the finances. There was something that switched. There was something that was happening. She started to really understand a lot more about herself. And I was like, whoa, like I want to deepen myself into this. I wanted to become the best that I wanted to be. Because there was also a part of me that was like, I wasn't the best partner at that time. I wasn't the best in my finances at that time. I wasn't the best in my football even. I wanted to be the best in all these areas. So that's when I started to also live, and get mentors and coaches and shortly after that, I actually started a business. I started a business called On the Ball, which is personal development and mindset coaching for professional athletes. And from that, we had mindset planners and we did a podcast. And then I started a community called On the Ball Squad, where we'd come together twice a month. The first call would be with an ex-professional footballer where he'd come on, share his story and speak about his career. And we could ask questions about his career. And we had some amazing guests coming on, amazing guests from Heskey to Andy Cole to a lot of great guests that came on to share their experiences. And then the second call would be with a guest expert. So from financial advisors to mindset coaches to motivational speakers. And we'd also have a time where we'd just open up. We'd open up with the things that we're going through. We'd open up with the thing because I felt like there wasn't a place where we could really do that. There wasn't a place where we could really open up about the things that we were really going through. Like when we talk about football, we talk about so many challenges that we go through. The pressure of having to perform at the highest level every single game. And if you don't play, like how are you gonna then provide for your family? And if you don't play, then how are you gonna and these are things that we then bypass by saying, oh, I don't really care. Or you bypass by working hard and not really expressing your emotions of what you're actually going through. So I wanted to create a place where we could be real. And that's what happened. We had people coming on and saying that football wasn't for them anymore. We had people coming on and to share, like, to ended up making their steps into becoming better players. We had players that came on that were playing higher levels than, that you can imagine, but they were still suffering with certain things. And that was really a platform where we did that. And that's what came from, from me really figuring out who I was. And that was because I was more than a player,
For
more
sure.
than what I did. And that's what God really blessed me with, to be honest with you. I always say to my wife, like, that wasn't something that I desired to do. That was something that I had to do, you know, because it was that burning. It was something burning in my heart that was like, I had to do this. So I started mentoring players, started to mentor as well. So that's where I got into my life. That's what happened into my life, and that's when that all happened, when I really moved to Portugal. Something shifted.
Yeah, that's very interesting, and I think that's, you know, so well said. I mean, I think obviously football is a business at the end of the day. So, you know, at the end of the day, you know, as much as if there are good people or good coaches, like some people don't have the time to talk about emotions. They don't have the time to talk about your own individual struggles and your flaws. So I think, like you said, being able to find a good community and a good space to really sit down and share is so important and undervalued, whether it's a community or a couple good friends, a girlfriend, whatever it is, and having the ability to share and let that off your chest is so important because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you're just going out and trying to get the 3 points every single day, every single match, and you're trying to, you know, be the best player you can be every single day. But, you know, there are things that you go through, and I think what I've realized is the happier you are off the field, the better you're going to be on the field, and the happier you're going to be on the field, you know, and your mental health off the field, how that really affects your performance on the field. So having the ability to really, you know, talk about, you know, because everyone talks about football and mental health, but having that community to really guide you, and that's a major reason I have this podcast, because, you know, everyone sees nowadays the highlights on social media. They see, oh, you know, he's driving the Ferrari, he's got the Rolex, he's got the beautiful girlfriend. But, you know, no matter who you are, you're always going to go through ups and downs. You know, they're going to be different problems, but you're going to be going through those lows. And I think that the main goal is to be able to, you know, see it for what it is, and you know, find a solution, you know, because I think nowadays with the mental health crisis, some people think that they're alone. But when you find a community that's gone through the same type of things, you can learn from their experiences. And that's the importance of mentors. That's the importance of people who've been through the same troubles and the same problems.
Well said, brother. Amazing.
Yeah, man. So take us through the journey in Portugal.
Yeah, man. So Portugal was it, and it started. It actually, so it got to a point where I was like, I wasn't playing in the beginning, and I was so frustrated. I was so angry. However, I was the happiest I've ever been. So it was like, wait, my football isn't my identity here because I'm actually happy when I'm not playing. So that's what God had to take me through. He had to take me through that experience. He had to take me through that understanding that football doesn't hold that weight over me anymore. But I love it and I love to play it. And if I don't, I want to play. So it got to a point where I actually went to the second league in Portugal. I went on loan. So now I've gone from the Premier League to the Portuguese League to the second league. And that was a humbling process that God took me on. It was a humbling process because it was like, it doesn't matter where you've played, it doesn't matter what you've done, we're all at the same level here. Like, you might have came from the Premier League, but the guy that's just came from Nigeria and playing here as well, he's the same level as you, Kenji. Like, it doesn't matter where you come from. And I was just like, wow, like, I used to rely so much on that it gave me pressure because it's like, now it's like you've came from the Premier League, now we expect this. You know, we expect this. And someone that the same guy in on the right wing, for example, the Nigerian, the center mid, sorry, in my team, he came from Nigeria, not the same expectation was put on him, you know, but he was there and he was just happy. He was just so blessed to be there. And I was like, I was frustrated, I was angry, I was like, I'm the second league of Portugal, what? How is that possible? But I was like, I'm the same as him. So God reminded me to humble myself, where it was like, you're the exact same. Like, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? And that's why you know, anyone that might be listening to this is like, who do you think you are? You're at the same
100%.
level. You're at the same level. Whatever team you're playing at, you're all on the same level. There's no one higher or lower than anybody else. You're on the same level. So I went on that humbling process of, of, you know, playing at these top stadiums, now going to the second league and playing in these stadiums. And honestly, it went really well. Started to really find confidence, started to really find my feet again, and I was just enjoying my playing football. And we ended up finishing third in the league, and then my team, Nacional, at the time got relegated. Wow, so I was like, "Oh my days! I'm gonna have to play another season in the second league." But yeah. I had a couple of offers in the first league again, so I was so grateful. Mm-hmm. I was like, "I'm probably gonna leave." Anyway, I didn't leave. The club didn't let me go. I was like, "How are you not letting me go? Like, my wage is going up, my salary's going up. Like, just let me go to the first league." Like, there was clubs in the first league, and they were like, "No, we want to get promoted. You're staying here." Bro, I stayed there and I'm on the bench. I couldn't believe. I was like, "How is this possible?" Like, and when I say I'm on the bench, like, I'm still coming on, I'm getting minutes, and when this happening. But it got to a point where, you know, there was 5 yellow cards, and I was like, "Right, now is my time." The guy in my position got 5 yellows, but the team's doing well. Mm-hmm. Got 5 yellows. I played that game, scored. The second game, the right winger got 5 yellows. So now the left winger came back in the team, but he went right wing. So I played that game, got an assist, we won. Wow. And that set me up, and I started to play. I started to play again. And that's why I wanted to encourage anyone. Says, if you find yourself on the bench at the moment, keep working hard, keep being ready for your opportunity. Because if you're not 100%. Ready, your opportunity is going to come. And if you're not ready, oh man, you're going to beat yourself up. You just have to make sure that you're ready for that opportunity. And let me tell you, I was ready. Things were going well. We ended up getting promoted. Then I played a season in the first league and I had a really good season. Played really well. And that was my last year of my contract. I then signed for Boa Vista, which is a great club in Portugal. Great fan base, in Porto as well. So we lived in Porto. Yeah. And that was
beautiful there.
Yeah, beautiful, man. Beautiful. Yeah. Really enjoyed my time there as well. And then I played 2 years there. I had a great time, to be honest. We had some great memories, you know, by beating Sporting. We drew again. We got to the semis of the cup as well, where we played against Benfica. We lost on penalties. We should have won that game. I still think we should have won that game. Had some opportunities. Yeah. But I had some great memories there. And I played some really good football. And that's why I speak about the process. Because the process is what it's all about. You know, it's never about the end goal. It's all about the process. And that's 100%. Why God had to take me through that process in order for my character to be able to match where I am and what I needed to achieve. And also for that character to be molded, because God cares more about your character than he does about your career.
100%. You know,
he cares more about that character side. And for that character to be formed, you go through trials. You go through
100%.
You know, you go 100%. Through things, and especially when you put value in football. When you put your value in football, with the ups and downs of football, you know, you're definitely going to have to go through trials. Mm-hmm. Because there's going to be 100%. Moments where you're on the bench. You're going to go through moments where you're not scoring. You're going to go through moments when you're not playing well. But it's how you handle those moments. It's what you do in those moments. It's like we said before, like, it's easy to smile when things are going well. It's easy to smile when football's going amazing. But can you still smile when football's not going well? Can you still smile? Can you still go with your chest high when you've just missed a sit the day before? You know, like, these are things that God challenged me with. I was going to cafes. I saw myself, like, when going to that same cafe that I go to, and I was like, don't really want to show my face. They're going to ask me about the game. They're going to ask. And I was just like, it got to a point where I was like, nah, man, I need to release that. That's not who I am. That 100%. Is not me. Yeah. So that player that missed, or that player that got red card, or that player that didn't get the man of the match award, you know, you didn't play well. So what? That doesn't mean you don't show up the same way of who you are. Mm-hmm. So 100%. That's what I really went through, and to answer your question, bro, like, my time in Portugal was great, man. Had an amazing time.
Yeah, awesome, man. Yeah, I mean, you know, like you said from the beginning, and even, you know, when you mentioned your father, you know, you just really respected how he went through the downs. You know what I mean? You said like it's so easy to be, you know, with someone, you know, when they're on the highs, when they're on the ups, but the downs are what really tells you about a real man, you know, and I'm sure you took tons of inspiration. And I think something that you've said throughout the whole conversation that is a key pointer here is you're gonna have the ups and downs. Like you said, you went from the Prem to the second league in Portugal, but instead of judging yourself and kind of looking at it like a metamorphosis process, a character building process through the whole thing, and really enjoying the journey is the main goal. You know what I mean? It's not like it's not the destination, like you said, but taking that whole process as, and using it to build your mind, to build your body, and build those values that it eventually, you know, going to build the family. It's going to build the business. It's going to build your future after football. And you take all those lessons that you learned, you know, the discipline, the time management, the respect, the consistency, and you put that into your life in the future. And I think when people can really grasp that, then you don't put as much pressure on yourself in daily training, in daily matches, and you just look at it as a learning process. That's what I've kind of discovered from speaking to guys like you, myself, and I think it really relieves the pressure.
So true. So true, bro.
So yeah, bro. So take us through. So after Portugal, your next move is to Qatar, yeah, where you're at now.
Yeah, so then honestly, I came to like a crossroad in my career where it's like, okay, I was thinking like, which way am I gonna go? You know, where am I really going to go? And it got to a point where I had to be real myself. I had to be real myself and say to myself, like, if I continue to play where I am now, I'm gonna have to work after my career. I'm gonna have to find a job because I'm not gonna be able to sustain the lifestyle that I desire to live. So I was like, okay. Would you be open then to go to Qatar, Saudi? And I said to myself, I would explore the idea for sure. Let me go into that. And when the opportunity came to come out here and to experience it here, I was like, started to play with the idea a little bit more. You know, like, and one thing that I've learned in my career is just know what you're saying no to. You know, like you have to explore everything, especially when an offer comes in. Sometimes it might not be the level that you want it to be at, or sometimes it might not look the way you think it should, but you should explore it because there's something there. You know, because offers don't just come. Especially this day and age, offers do not just come lightly. So you have to explore them. In or like you have to explore them, and I explored this offer, and it was life-changing financially for me, for my family, for my future, for the future generations. And that's why honestly I decided to come out here. And ever since coming out here is it's like wow, like it's just amazing. The life out here is great. Spiritually, I feel like I'm really growing spiritually as well, and just in every area of my life, it's just get taken. It's advancing, it's advancing, and my wife is really enjoying it too. So honestly, I'm so happy that I made the decision to come out here to Qatar to understand another culture, to understand how it is to live here. You know, it was never a thought. I never thought that this is the way that my life would go, but I know that this is where God wants me to be because there's a bigger purpose to my life than just playing, you know. So
100%.
this is where I am, and I'm grateful, man.
100%. That's awesome. That's awesome. And how's the football been? Has it differed from the other places you were at in Europe? How have you enjoyed that and the guys on the team and how have they accepted you?
Yeah, honestly, the guys are great. The guys are great. I've got some really great teammates, some really good footballers as well. And I think it's different because, so what it is here and in Saudi, like you can only have five foreign players. So five foreign players and then two foreign players that are under 23. So there's like seven. And the rest of them are then the local players that play it that are from Qatar. So the rest of the squad is filled with that. So it's interesting because a lot of teams then have great foreign players and then are mixed in with the Qatar players, you know? So it's like a 7v7. It's not a 7v7. Of course it's not, because
I get you.
there are some great Qatari players as well. But obviously, you know, when you've got players like Verratti and players like Coutinho and players of this caliber, you know, they're on another level, to the players. So it's like seven foreign players, and then the rest are, and obviously, like in Portugal, in Qatar, in Portugal and in England, it's just like, you know, the best players play. It's not about, you know, having foreigners or no foreigners. It's just like the best players just play. So that's the biggest difference, to be honest.
Sounds like an interesting experience for sure.
Yeah,
Yeah,
it
man, just
really is different.
as we get towards the end, if you could take us a little bit through your national team career. You know, I see you've had some appearances with Curaçao, you played against Messi, yeah. I mean, how was that?
Honestly, playing against Messi was crazy. And especially like when we heard that we were playing against Argentina, they had just won the World Cup. So it
Oh
was like this was
wow.
their celebration. This was their first game after they've won the World Cup. And they asked to play against Curaçao, a little island in the Caribbean, you know? And we were just like, wow, this is God's favor upon our lives. Like that way I get to share the pitch with Messi, that I get to share, you know, this moment with Messi was just was crazy to see, man. It's crazy to witness. Like, even just him, like, you know, like before the game when you're stood in a tunnel and you're walking out, he's walking out. I'm looking at the fans, and the stadium's full. It's like 90,000 people or like more. Like the stadium's full. And I'm looking around, and people are crying, looking at Messi. People are falling over, looking at Messi, and I'm just like, wow, like the power that he holds, like amongst the Argentinian people, and it's just surreal. And for me to be able to have shared the pitch with arguably for me the best player that's ever lived, the best player that's ever played football, was an honor, was honestly an honor for me.
And how was he during the game? You know,
Yeah,
what
fantastic.
did you notice?
Fantastic. He, you know, like he the whole team plays for him. So it's like everyone's looking for him. So he waits for the right moment to exploit, and even in the box and stuff, like he's on fire. Like he's just on fire. Yeah, he's just it gets away, get wriggles away, and he's on another level. He's on another level. He's on another level.
Unreal, man. Yeah, so as we get towards the end, just want to do a little quick fire round.
For
I
sure.
think also I wanted to ask you, you know, before we dive into the quick fire, you know, Sir Alex, you know, looking back, what are some of the most important things that you learned from him, and maybe the difference between him and some other managers?
When it comes to Sir Alex, that like he knew how to trigger players. He knew how to get the best out of them, you know, and he also knew when to change the players, when it was like, yep, it's his time to move on. We need to find us. You know, he just knew. He was just an amazing man manager. And I think like every player that has worked under him, like I didn't obviously have a lot of interaction with him in the training sessions, of course, because I was in under 18s and then in the reserves and stuff. So he was obviously with the first team, but one thing that I knew about him, he knew everyone's name. He knew everyone's name. So it was like from the workers to the security to the chefs to the cleaners, he knew everyone's name, and he built a culture at Manchester United that was just that it's just you can't it's incomprehensible what he did. Incomprehensible. And it was just, yeah, it's just amazing to see like how he gets the best out of the players, especially when you're at Manchester United. Like, think about it. Manchester United, everyone wants to play, but how you keep everyone happy is another thing, you know? Like, it's not easy. And he didn't keep everybody happy, but he kept everybody on a high level. He kept everyone on a
Just got
high
the
level.
best out of them.
He got the best out of them.
Yep.
Got the best out of them. Because he wants you to be angry if you're not playing. He wants you to be frustrated if you're not playing. But you got the best out of them. And that is what it's about. It's about a
For sure.
coach needs to get the best out of the players that he has. And that's what he did.
100%.
He got the best. He got the best out of everyone.
100%, man. Crazy. Yeah, man. So couple questions just to fire it off. Best player you've ever played with?
Wow. Ooh. Okay. I'm gonna go controversial a little bit because he was such a huge talent at Manchester United. But Ravel Morrison is definitely like his talent is indescribable. He's on another level. He's on another level. His career didn't go the way that it should have. Because he was really that gifted. But yeah, he was someone that is on another level. On another level. Definitely the
Best player you've ever played against besides
best.
Messi.
I was gonna say Messi straight
Yeah,
away.
I
Best
got
player
you
I've played
there.
against. I remember when I was on loan at Northampton, we played against United. And obviously on that pitch, you had even Rashford, playing against Rooney, playing against Zlatan. Oh man, I'll say Wayne Rooney.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, man. And then just end it off. Tell us a little bit about, Ballers and God. Is that your brand, or how are you involved with that?
So Ballers in God is a disciple-making, soul-winning movement in the world of football. And it's a place that our leader John Bostock created. God put it on his heart a couple of years ago. Not a couple of years ago, like about 10, 15 years ago. He put it on his heart to create a place where players would come and pray and worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And from that, his obedience is grown into something that is just undescribable. I think, when I joined about 5 years ago, and honestly, Ballers and God has changed my life. It has really made me understand who God is. It's made me understand the word of God says, seek and you will find. And when you seek God, he will reveal himself to you. And just to be a part of Ballers in God, like that is where I really found God, because there was questions that I had in my heart that I couldn't answer. There was questions that I had that I couldn't, and my brothers in there that I've never met before. I've never met them. Some of them I've never met before, but they're closer to me than any of my friends that I have met. And that is things because it goes deeper. We're spiritual beings. We're not just, this is our flesh, but this is our temporary home. And Ballers in God is a place where we can really cultivate that relationship with God. We can really grow our relationship with God. And it's a place where professional footballers, footballers, we come together on a Wednesday evening, UK time, and we chop up the word. We have special guests coming on to preach. We also have Bible study on a Sunday. We pray every morning from 7 o'clock to 7:30. Just players coming together and worshiping Jesus, and just praying into what hit for His will to be done in the world of football, because we believe that God really instructed us to be the light in football. So that is what Ballers in God is. And for any player that might be listening to this, any footballer, any semi-pro footballer, please message the Ballers in God page on Instagram, saying that you want in, or message me even on Instagram. I'm one of the
What's
leaders
your
in Ballers in
Instagram?
God.
Just
Kenji
to
Gore.
give.
It's just my name,
Okay.
Kenji Gore.
And we'll put it below. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Just message me on Instagram, and I'm one of the leaders in there. And honestly, Ballers in God has just changed my life. I'm also a co-host in there in the podcast as well, where we also listen, we hear players sharing their testimony, sharing the things that God is doing in their life, and also what got them to the level of their career. So we mix faith and football into that as well. So that's what Ballers in God is, man.
That's unreal, bro. That's unreal. Like we said before, community is just so important, believing the same thing, sharing your stories. Unbelievable, man. Yeah, last question, before we let you go. if you can go back to any age with the knowledge you have today, 29, played in all these places with tons of great players, what age would you go to and what would you tell yourself?
I would go to the age of... I would go to the age of 19.
Mm-hmm.
I'd go to the age of 19 and I would tell myself, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding.
Love that.
Because there's so many times where your mind can tell you things that aren't true. There's so many times that your circumstance might be saying something to you that doesn't make sense, that you cannot comprehend. And your mind will just try to make something up. But you can't trust in that because it wavers. It wavers. But something that stays the same is Jesus. He stays the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. And that's why it's to put my life on his foundation,
mm-hmm.
that solid rock. Because then when the wind comes, the storm comes, you're still solid. And you don't just waver. Because if you build on sand, you know what happens? It just washes away. And that is what I built my life upon. I built my life upon sand. And I would tell myself to build my life upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ and his principles and his ways and his thoughts.
Love that, brother. Love that. Kenji, thanks for sharing your story, man. It's been a great conversation. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm sure the listeners will. Any last words?
Oh, Rick, honestly, I just want to thank you. Thank you for letting me on and sharing the things that were on my heart to share. I just want to encourage you to keep going, man, because the impact you're having in this world, like, it doesn't go unnoticed, bro. It doesn't go unnoticed. Keep doing what you're doing because you're impacting so many lives, man. You're impacting so many lives. So just keep going, brother. Keep going.
Appreciate it, bro.
And thanks again for having me on and for all the listeners on here as well. Keep going. Just keep going. Keep moving. Yep. Do every, like, I think something that is the expectation, you know, like something that really switched something with inside me is like just to change that expectation for appreciation. Like just change that, what you think should happen and what you think should occur, to just being thankful for what you do have right now. So God can bless you with abundance. God can bless you. So that's the last word that I would love to share, bro. So thank you so much for having me on, man.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it, man.
God bless you, Rick.
God bless you, brother.